Let's open our Bibles, please, in the book of Haggai. And we open the scriptures once again. And in chapter number 2, Haggai chapter 2, and we commence to read at the verse number 1. So let's follow the reading in God's precious and God's holy and infallible book. Thank God we have a book we can turn to and a word we can depend upon. In the seventh month, in the 1 and 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes, in comparison of it, as nothing? Yet how now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, Yet once in a little while, and I will shake the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Let's keep our Bibles open. We'll bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious word, and we pray that Thou will bless it to our souls today. We thank Thee, O God, that we are headed to a greater day that is sure to come when Jesus Christ, our lovely Savior, shall come again in all His glory and in all His power, and every eye shall see Him, and many shall wield because of Him. O God, our Father, we thank Thee for those that are ready to see Him, and ready to go out to meet Him, and ready to be with Him. We think of those that are still not ready, still not prepared. O my God, in Jesus' name I pray, that this might be a day of preparation, that this might be a day of turning to Christ, that men and women and young people this day might receive the Lord as their Savior and as their Lord. Hear and answer our prayer, for we ask this humbly in Jesus' precious and Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Amen. This was a day of adversity. And in a day of adversity, God's people need encouragement. God's people need to be strengthened. And so God meets His people at the point of our need. For the Word of God says, My God shall supply all your need. We have noticed in the second chapter how that God exhorted them to be strong. And every part of the team, whether it was Zerubbabel or Joshua or all the remnant of people, every one of them, each part of the team needed to be strong in the Lord. I'm sure you've often heard it said, you're as strong as your weakest link. And so therefore it is important, the Spirit of God says, be strong, Zerubbabel. Be strong, Joshua. Be strong, all ye remnant of the people. And so we need strength to face the enemy and to overcome our enemy. But not only does we see the exhortation here, we see how that God expands it, because He not only says to be strong, but He says this, and work. In other words, strength of itself is not enough. Many people are strong and do nothing. But there is a work to be done. And when God exhorts them to be strong, and to be strong in the Lord, and God gives them strength, it is a strength for the task. Whatever God gives us to do, whatever God places in our hand to do it, we are to do it with all our strength and all our might, of course, in the power of the Spirit of God. And so the task has got to be done. and they've got to be strong to do it. And then he explains something in verse number 5. He says, or verse number 4, he says, "For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts." In other words, you're not facing the task alone. No matter how strong you are, you can depend upon the Lord, because he says, "I'm there. You're not facing this battle alone, for I am with you." And then he goes in verse number 5, he encourages them further. He says, "According to the word that I have covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not." And so we find that first of all, he takes a look back, and to strengthen their hand and to encourage them in the Lord, he says, "According to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt." And so he looks back and he reminds them of past victories, when they were facing dangers in days that were past, whenever they thought the situation was hopeless. There was no reason to go on because they would never be able to conquer. And whenever they faced the Red Sea, it seemed to be there was no way across. Whenever the enemy was coming behind, there was no way back. And the mountains on either side, there was no way over. But thank God there was a way through. Thank God there was a way over, because the Lord was with his people. And so he tells them to look back, and he reminds them of past deliverance. We think of the hymn writer when he said, "O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come." And as we look back and as we consider what God did for us in the past, thank God it gives us courage for the future, because we know that with God all things are possible if we only believe. And friends, you might be facing a high mountain, or facing a great impossible river to cross, or perhaps the enemy seems to be approaching in upon you and there seems to be no way out. Thank God, God is still on the throne. And God says, "As I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt." Thank God he brought them out. There was a time whenever they were in Egypt when it seemed as if they would never get deliverance. It seemed that there was no hope. They were called upon to make the brick without the straw. But thank God, God met the need and God delivered them. And God delivers again. God delivered Daniel out of the lion's den. God delivered his people, his three boys, out of that fiery furnace. Thank God, no matter what the situation you and I have to face, thank God, God is a covenant-keeping God. But notice, not only does he look back, then he brings them to the present. And notice what he says there in the end of verse number 5. "Just as I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you." So not only did I do it in the past, but he said, listen, you can encourage yourself about the past, because so my spirit remaineth among you. I was thinking about that when the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to his troubled disciples in that upper room many years ago. And when the Lord looked into the eyes of his children and he spoke about his death and about him going to the cross and about him leaving, he looked into their face and he knew there was a trouble there. The Lord Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." And then he went on to say to them this, "Although I am going," he said, "I will not leave you comfortless. I'll come to you." And the word, as you know, the word comfortless is the word orphan. "I will not leave you as an orphan, but I'll come to you." And he said, "When I go," he said, "I will send my Spirit. I will send the Holy Spirit." And you know, this is what God is saying to Haggai, to the Jews at this time of great adversity. He said, "Not only did I covenant to bring you out of Egypt," he says, "so my Spirit remaineth among you." And thank God we today in God's house have this promise that the Lord has not left us comfortless. No matter what you're facing, no matter how hard the road, no matter how steep the hill to climb, no matter how deep the valley, no matter how deep the waters are to be crossed, thank God, he says, my spirit remaineth among you. The Lord of hosts is with us. And the God of Jacob is our refuge. Thank God, he's promised the Comforter. And then he says this. You just remember this. I am with you. My spirit remaineth. Then he's not going to leave you. You're not going to be deserted halfway. You're not going to be left on your own. No matter what you have to face, no matter what trial or trouble or affliction, remember this, my spirit remaineth among you. Thank God that's a promise. And then he says this, verse 5, fear ye not. You have nothing to fear. Now the Bible tells us there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out all fear. And what the Lord is reminding them, he's reminding them how much he loves them. How he was with them when they were coming out of Egypt, and how that he brought them out. And he brought them through. And he says, my spirit remaineth among you. I love you still. I'm still loving you. And you have nothing to fear, because I am with you. There is nothing to fear, for God will carry out his word for him. God will fulfill his promise. In that 46th Psalm, where it says the Lord of hosts is with us and the God of Jacob is our refuge, it says this. He says, be still and know that I'm God. Though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, though the rivers be troubled, you and I don't need to be troubled. Because he says, be still and know that I'm God. And let me ask you a question. Is that how you face the trials that have come upon you this past week? Have you been still in the presence of God? Have you been just waiting on God, knowing that the Lord's presence is with you? My spirit remaineth among you. That God hasn't lost the plan. God hasn't lost the plot. And so he looks back to encourage them and reminds them of past deliverance. And then he says, remember, in the present, I'm remaining with you. So you can have courage. Then verse number 6. He looks to the future. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. See, not only were they afraid of the enemy that was opposing them, but they were also discouraged, as I've also reminded you, because they have been reminded that what they are building is nothing like Solomon's temple at all. It's just a replica, but it's not. There's no silver, there's no gold. It hasn't the glory of the former temple of Solomon. And so they're discouraged by this. And God says this. He says, I will fill this house with glory. In verse 8, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. Notice over and over again this emphasis, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. And so what we find in these verses, from verses 6 to verse 9, we see a sudden change from the instruction to keep going and building the temple to a promise concerning Israel's future. He's looking to the future, what is sure to happen. And what he says about the future is something to encourage them, to comfort them, to reassure them that all is under his control. The Lord of hosts. In other words, I believe what he's saying, listen, children, all's well. Stop your worrying about the glory of this house. This is my house. And he said, I will glory this in this house. He said, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former. Just wait for me. You know, there are different views about these verses. Different commentators have different things to say, but I believe these verses speak about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're speaking about events whenever the Lord Jesus Christ shall return in glory and in power. The title is the Lord of hosts, which is preeminent. And friend, what an encouragement for us today to know that tomorrow's in God's hands. That our future is not in the hands of the enemy. That our tomorrow is not in the hands of some government of this world. And so often we get ourselves worked up because it doesn't work out the way we think it should work out. Let me tell you this. The Lord of hosts is in control. He's Lord over all. He's one who's sovereign in all the affairs of men. And the events of this world will be in keeping with his will and fulfilling his sovereign purpose. I think you could divide up verses 6, 7, 8, and 9 like this. Verse number 6, we see the power of God. In verse number 7, we have the pleasure of God. In verse number 8, we have the possessions of God. And in verse number 9, we have the purpose of God. The power, the pleasure, the possessions, the purpose of Jehovah God, the Lord of hosts. It is said that the Jewish rabbis lamented that there were five things missing in this temple that were in Solomon's temple, but they're missing in this temple. And the five things were: the sacred fire was missing, the Shekinah was missing, the ark and the cherubims were missing, the Urim and Thummim was missing, the spirit of prophecy was missing, and they would grieve over the things, they lamented over the things that were missing. But I want you to notice in this prophecy which God gives, verse number 6, let's look at God's power. For thus saith the Lord of hosts. Here's a sure word. God speaking here. Yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Some suggest that that word once means only once. Only once. Yet once. However, I turn you to a verse over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. And in Hebrews 12, verse 26, it says this. whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, once more, I shake not the earth only, but also the heavens. And so therefore it refers to a past shaking as well as a future shaking. Yes, God did shake the earth before. Whenever the Lord descended upon Mount Sinai and he gave the covenant to the people of Israel, God shook the earth. Turn to Book of Exodus, chapter 19. In Exodus chapter 19, verse number 16, and it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so all the people that were in the camp trembled. And Moses stood, or brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood in either part of the mount, and the mount Sinai was altogether in the smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by his voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. The mount quaked. God shook the mount. God shook the earth when he descended and gave his covenant to the people of Israel. And of course we're reminded that indeed the Lord says here, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. God has promised to shake the earth again, yet once more. I believe that God shook the world whenever the Persian Empire fell and the Grecian armies came in and took over. God shook the world whenever the Roman armies then destroyed the power of the Grecian armies. But God's promising another shaking. God shook this world when Jesus came into this world as a little babe, in the heavens broke forth and singing when the angels sang the praises to the Lord of glory. But God has promised another day. We read this morning in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. Let's just read some verses there again. Matthew chapter 24, look at verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. God is promising a shaking of the very powers of the heavens. Then turn over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 21. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, verse 25, we read these words. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts filling them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 6. And in Revelation, chapter 6, in verse number 12, we read these words. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell onto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. See, God is going to shake this world, friend. Tells us the stars will be shaken out of the heavens. Just like that fig tree, when it is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? God has promised, and God promised Haggai a servant. Tell the people yet once more. And he says, I'll shake the heavens, and I'll shake the earth. The Lord will fulfill his promise. Turn to 2 Peter. And in 2 Peter, the chapter number 3, we read these words, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 10. For the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening on to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The day when God shakes the earth and the heavens, when the day of his wrath has come. Turn back to the Old Testament, to the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 13, we read at verse number 19. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees, excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. But wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and I shall dwell there. Satyrs shall dance there, and the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and the dragons in their pleasant palaces. And her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. Verse 9, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth. And the moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place, in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. Perhaps a few more verses. Joel, book of Joel, chapter 2, verse number 10, it says, "The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. The stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. For his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. And who can abide it?" The day when God rises up, what did he promise? Going back to the book of Haggai. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land." You say to me, "Preacher, but what does it mean in a little while? A little while." Remember what God's word says, friend. Because in the eyes of Jehovah God, it is a little while. Because 1,000 years are as one day. And one day as 1,000 years. That's why over and over again, when we think about the day of God's wrath, it speaks about the day of the Lord is near. The day of his wrath is near. Because 1,000 years are as but one day in God's sight. And God is reminding his people that he will defend Israel. This little nation despised and rejected. This people that were building this temple. And it was laughed upon and it was mocked as they were doing it. And God was reminding that he would rise up to defend his children. Just as God promises, he will defend his children. He says, "Touch not mine anointed, and do my servant no harm." You see, God, whenever he was speaking to Saul on the road to Damascus, what did he say? "Why persecutest thou me?" And when you put your hand on God's people, you're putting your hand upon the Lord. And God will deliver his people. I know time's away this morning, but I was just reading an interesting little verse. It tells me, go back to Deuteronomy chapter 33. In Deuteronomy chapter 33, in verse number 2, it says this. In verse 1-2, "This is the blessing wherewith the Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai. He rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran. And he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them." And it says he came with 10,000s of saints. Then turn over to the little book of Jude. Just before the book of Revelation. It's speaking about the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what Enoch promised? A prophesy. In Jude verse 14. "And Enoch also the seventh from Adam prophesied of thee, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints." God descended in glory to make a covenant with Israel. And thank God he's coming again in glory with 10,000s of saints. And as the Lord came down to deliver Israel out of bondage in Egypt and lead them to the land of promise, thank God so the Lord will come again. And he'll deliver his people out of this old world, this old Egypt. And thank God he'll bring us to the land of promise. He'll fulfill his will. He says, I will shake this world. And there's coming a day when God will shake this old world, friend. You know, prime ministers, presidents, they gather together these great leaders of the world's nations. And they gather together and they think they're in control of it all. And yet God's, the Lord of hosts, is in control. And what is happening in this world is fulfilling his sovereign plan. And then God says this, and we'll finish this verse 7. And he says, I will shake all nations. And the desire of all nations shall come. The word desire there is the same word as consolation. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is the consolation. And thank God it says, I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory. Let me tell you what he did, friend. They thought the house was glorious because of its silver and gold. And yes, the Lord's presence, the Shekinah glory, dwelt there in Solomon's temple, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. But you see, this house that was built, this house that they were saying, it's nothing like Solomon. One day, the Lord of glory himself entered into that temple. It wasn't a symbol of his presence. The Lord of glory himself filled that house. He appeared in the temple as Mary and Joseph brought him there and presented him before his father. Do you remember at the Passover? He appeared in the temple when he was 12 years of age. He came to the temple one day, and they were buying and selling, and he drove them out of that temple. But thank God, Jesus sat down and he taught them in the temple. Yes, I will fill this house with my glory. It wasn't the silver or the gold. He filled it with himself. Oh, that the glory of God would fill this house today. Oh, that we would be conscious of the Lord's presence in this place. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I will shake all nations. And so he did. The desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. May God fill this house today. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Remember what God's word promised. The Lord of hosts is with us. And the God of Jacob is our refuge. And before we take a step further and sing the final hymn, brethren and sisters, remember what God says in light of that. He says, be still and know that I'm God. Child of God, as you bow in God's presence today, whatever's troubling you, whatever situation is pressing upon you, and perhaps you don't see the way out, you don't even see the way through, just be still today and know that he's God. Just hand it over to the Lord. Commit your way onto the Lord today. Cast your burden on the Lord today. You're in God's presence. Just tell the Lord about it.
Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. You're honestly a person. There is coming a day when Jesus Christ shall judge this earth, this world in righteousness. And Jesus shall come. Who shall be able to stand? I beg you in God's name today, give your heart and life to Christ. Be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Lord cometh. Are you ready? O Spirit of God, take control today. We hand the situation of our lives, we hand it to Thee. Today we thank Thee that Thou art sovereign. Be still and know that I am God. We thank Thee that Thou art God alone. The God in control and beside Thee there is none else. We hand our families to Thee. O God, we leave them at Thy feet. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.